Good morning, Christ Church. Looks like there's some unfamiliar faces in the house, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Jovan Anderson. I help youth lead our Ignite group in our main campus, and this is my second week preaching with you guys, and I'm so excited for the message for you guys this week. So again, I get to have the privilege of continuing our topic of Christian economics. Yes, we get to talk about money. Actually, if you would see kind of the pattern that we haven't really been talking about finances as much. Really, we've been talking about just economics in general, how there's, again, laws and there's principles that help govern a nation and their economy. And then when they apply these principles accurately, it helps them to flourish. But then again, we want to take the teachings of Christ. We want to take the teachings of Jesus and apply them in our lives and so it can help us to flourish, it can help us to develop, it can help us to grow with him. And so today I want to continue our talk, and we're actually going to continue in the book of Matthew. Last week we talked about exchanging and what are we willing to exchange in our lives. And today I want to ask you guys to kind of begin our topic by asking this: are you handling what you've been given? And if you have a copy of the scripture, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. It's a lengthy verse. I'm going to get through it today, so bear with me. I know nobody wants to be stuck in the Bible the whole time, but bear with me. We will get through it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, 16 verses I have to read. And then it goes on again. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents. To one he gave 2 talents, and to the other he gave 1 talent. Now, a talent is not representing, you know, an ability that we possess in life. A talent is representing a unit or a measure of money. And he goes on, he gives 1 5 talents, 2 2 talents, the second 1 2 talents, and then the last one he gives 1 talent, all each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, "Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things." We're going to come back to that in just a moment. "I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard and harsh man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have at least put your money into a deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I have received back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have it in abundance." I don't know. I should get an amen after that one. He would have it in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Again, I want to go off the topic. I know that's a long verse. That's the only time I'm really going to read it today. I know it's a long verse, but again, I want to ask us today to begin our conversation: are we handling what we have been given? Let me go ahead and say a quick prayer for us real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your scripture. I thank you for the people in this room today. And I pray that, Lord, that your word, that your message would be like salt on our hearts. Because you call us out in Matthew 5 when you say that we are the light of the world. And I pray that we can go out and occupy every street according to your goodness and according to your love that you call out of us. And Lord, I pray that these things would bring honor and glorification, which we're going to talk about today. Bring honor and glorification to your son's name. Amen. All right, let's get to business. So one of my favorite shows that I watch is 30 for 30. And, you know, 30 for 30 is kind of just this documentary. It's kind of a sports documentary. Basically, these reporters or journalists or directors, they would just gather a bunch of information, and they would bring it all together, and they would, of course, create this show, at least 30 minutes or maybe an hour. Maybe some of you might be familiar with the 30 for 30 Cleveland, right? Where it took the past events of Cleveland sports, you know, with the Browns, the Indians, and the Cavs, the good times and the very, very bad times. But we are crowned champs, so everything is good from there. But one pretty cool documentary that came out a few years back was called 30 for 30 Broke. And what sparked my interest about this was, in this documentary, basically, the reporters, the directors, and whoever put this together, put it together very well, because it went over basically what the title says, how athletes in America go broke. These athletes that have these million-dollar contracts, and I don't mean just like one or two, I mean hundreds of millions of dollars. Athletes who are well-known in the entertainment business. Athletes who have been received so much, but eventually went broke. Can you bring up the one slide about the statistics about, look at this, this is crazy. 2 years after retirement of an NFL player, 78% of them go broke. And 5 years after retirement for an NBA player, 60% of them, they go broke. And some of you might be looking at this like I did when I watched the show. I said, well, how could they blow it? What do you mean you blew $200 million contracts? And some of these guys were very well known, like I said, like Bernie Kosar. Some of you guys might be familiar with him. He was the old Browns quarterback. He was a part of the show. He said at one point he lived a lifestyle where he had 60 cell phones, but only used one. One NBA player said that he signed a contract and they gave him a Ferrari, but had stick shift. He said, I don't even know how to drive stick. But maybe you've looked at this, these numbers, and you said, like I've said, well, how could they blow it? How could they do that? If it was me, and I always tell myself, maybe you get yourself caught up in saying this, if I had that type of money, then I would never blow it. God, I would give 10% to the church. We would have this huge, ridiculous church. We have more room for the kids. We have more room for parking. Amen. And I would just have this huge, I would just do way much better than what they did, right? But then I have to take a step back and look at my own life, right? Because here's the thing. If I can barely handle the $15 in my pocket, what makes you think I'm going to be able to handle $15 million receiving in 1 year? Because I have to take a step back and say to myself, well, how have I handled my finances in my life? And I've handled them very poorly. As a matter of fact, my financial state that I was in at one point had damaged relationships, had damaged, you know, my bank account. My financial situations that I put myself in have set me back. So I start to think to myself, well, if I was God and I was looking down at me, why would I give myself $100 million if I can't even handle what I have right now? Then I took a step back and I said to myself, and again, the conversation today is not about money. This is just really just to open up what I plan to talk about. Then I had to take a step back and say to myself, what about the things that I've been given in my life? How have I handled them? Because of the grace of God, and only by his grace, I have received plenty. But again, I asked the question, how have I handled it? I think about the things that I've received, like not just money, but the time, the opportunity, my education. Did I take advantage of that? Did I invest in a certain way better than these athletes invested into their money? Did I invest in my education? No. Did I invest in my upbringing, my relationships, my friendships? Did I invest in these type of things in my life? Maybe you felt the same way. How have I invested into my marriage? Some of you might be saying this, maybe saying to yourself, how have I invested into my parenting? What have I done to double or to see better results? What have I done? See, the thing about it is in life, we mishandle resources that we receive. And I mean resources, is not just money. It's all types of things. It's the abilities that we receive. It's the gifts that we have. Some of us have the gifts of speaking. Some of us have the gifts of giving. Some of us have the gifts of working with our hands. But some of us mishandle our resources. I know I have. And I think the reason why I mishandled resources in my own life, because I had no motivation behind it. There was nothing that was motivating me to invest. There was nothing that was motivating me to grow. There was nothing that was motivating me to tell me that, you know what? There's more than what I'm doing right now. And I think the main point is a lot of us, and again, I look at the athletes that I've talked about, not handling our resources with wisdom, wisely. So here's what I want to say. God gives each and every one of us special gifts and abilities and resources. But here's the point. Here's what Scripture says. He expects us to handle it with faith. Handle it accurately. So we can begin to produce what they call fruit in our lives. Here's the better question. And this blew my mind when I thought about this. Have I taken the things that I received? Has it brought God glory? Is it helping build his kingdom? I call myself a follower of Christ, but is what I'm doing in my everyday life, my gifts, my abilities, the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I portray love, the way I show hope, is what I'm doing bringing God glory? But also, the other fact that I want to bring up is what I'm doing impacting the world. Think about if our political system thought about this. Think about it. If our political system had this in mind, saying that, you know what, God has given us these amazing opportunity to impact the world and to better his kingdom, to build his glory, to show the love of God throughout people's lives. Think about how our political system would be. Think about if they did this in the educational system. Think about if they did this economically. Think about if people did this in their everyday lives, how I can bring God glory in my life, but also how I can impact and influence the people around me. Friends, I'm going to be honest with you. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Looking at men and women and how they did the things that God had called them to do. They received the resources and handled it in a way to bring God glory, to build his kingdom, but also to impact the people around them and influence this world. Before I dig into Scripture, I want to be honest with you. We need as much influence as we can in this world today. With all the separation, with all the racial tension, with all the things going on between men and women, black and white, Hispanic, black, cop and black, with all these things, it takes one of us to say to ourselves, what can I take what I have been given and impact this world? What can I take what I've been given and bring glory to God? And in our parable today that we're going to read about how we can impact, further build God's kingdom, further develop our faith in him, further impact the world around us. Now, to give the context of the story that we're picking back up in Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus is ending his earthly ministry and beginning his destiny towards death. He's beginning to speak to his disciples in parables. Jesus often spoke in parables. Parables is nothing but a story of how Jesus would explain a certain context. And usually behind the story, there's a main point. And in this main point, in this parable, Jesus is talking about what we should do while he is gone and what we should do when he comes back. And if you can read along with me, beginning in Matthew 25, verse 14. Pick it back up. I lost my, there he is. For us to better understand this scripture, I want you guys to understand the principle of stewardship. Jesus is speaking about stewardship. Stewardship is nothing but managing what God gives us with wisdom, accountability, and with opportunity. Stewardship is understanding that God has ownership over all things. 1 Peter 4:10 says, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. See, steward means manager, right? So if we can better understand this and say to ourselves that the things that have been given to us was for us to manage. I'm to manage my relationships. I'm to manage my household. I'm to manage my marriage. I'm to manage my parenting. I'm to manage the way I act at work. I am to manage what God has given because he is the owner. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field, his building. Stewardship is not God taking something from us. It's his method of bestowing his riches and gifts upon his children. Stewardship shows obedience to God and his sovereignty. Once we start to grip onto this concept, we are able to accurately view and correctly value not only the resources and the possessions that's going to be given to us, but also our life with Christ. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Once we start to grip onto this concept, we are able to accurately view and correctly value. Last week we talked about values. Correctly value not only the resources and the possessions and the having children and the getting married and buying a house and having a nice car and having a great job. Not only do we value those resources and those possessions, but more importantly, a life with Christ. Stewardship defines our purpose in this world as assigned to us by God himself. Because listen, where there's purpose, there's reason. And when there's reason, there's God. Stewardship for my life, I have to say to myself, am I the Lord of my life? Or is Christ the Lord of my life? And the first point that I want to bring up about stewardship in this verse, in these verses is, number one, everything comes from and belongs to God. To be honest with myself, I have to say that I didn't retrieve it by myself. I didn't receive it by myself. It was only given by God's grace. Psalms 24, it says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You know, I have to think about this. I remember when I was growing up, my dad used to like to wear jewelry a lot, bracelets and watches. And usually when I would go out with my friends, you know, I would like to have the flashy look. And I would say, hey, Dad, can I borrow your watch? And my dad said, all right, here it is. This is for you to handle. But let me just be honest, it better come back in one piece. And I remember when I used to wear it, I used to like walk around like this. Like nobody could touch me. I was walking around like, yeah, look at my watch, but don't you get too close. But see, that's how we have to view our lives with Christ when he gives us stuff as well. It's to use the resources with caution. Use our resources with wisdom. But the one thing I would say that these servants in this verse is, notice how Jesus, when he explains it, he says, the master says, you have done plenty with few. And I'm beginning to say to myself, if I was the third servant, I'd be like, are you serious? You gave them five, two, and I only received one. How many times have we tried to measure ourselves against the people in our lives? How many times have we said, you know what? If I had a job like my neighbor, or if I had the finances of my neighbor, or if I just had the house, then of course I would be able to do things that God wants me to do. Of course I would be able to excel. But right then and there, it just shows us is that it's not about how much we have, but how well we're using it. It's not about the talents, more of it. It's about how well we're using it right now. It's not about if I can give a certain amount to charity. It's about how I can give my time to charity. It's not about how much I can give to the church. It's about how much I can do with the church. Everything comes from and belongs to God. The first two servants went out and they took action. They were willing to please their master. They said, we have received this this amount of talents, we're going to go out and we're going to do what he calls us to do. And let me be honest with you, this is an act of salvation. Salvation is not received by works. Salvation is received because of God's grace. But it's our job as followers, it's our job to go out and manage what he has given. To say to myself, I'm not going to take advantage, I'm going to take advantage of my marriage. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do better in my parenting. Because God has given me these resources. God has given me a purpose. God has given me a reason in this life. Second thing I want to bring up is we're given what we can handle. We're given what we can handle. Basically, to better understand this, is one talent is not greater than the other, like I said. Master says that you have been faithful with little. Master says you have been faithful with what I have given you. And we are given only what we can handle. You know, I think about this when I was raised in sports, and some of you guys can understand this. In football, throughout the week in high school, you know, our coaches would put us in certain schemes and put us in certain scenarios to help us to excel during the big game on Friday night. And here's the thing. Our coaches would only give us a responsibility according to our ability. And you know, the same thing is for God. I had to think about this. My coaches would never put me to be on the front line and be ready to block this 290-pound D end. No, my coaches would say, no, you know, you got to get over here because here's the thing. For us to be able to win this game, you know, you're better in this position. And the same thing goes from God. But sometimes I act like the third servant. And I say to myself, I'm not too happy for what I have. I don't have much. I only have this small amount. Insecurities begin to creep in. Fear begins to creep in. Anybody been fearful and been insecure because of the talent that they think that they have? Of the gifts that they think they don't have? Our responsibility is tied to our ability. God never gives us more than we can handle. We should invest in what he has given us with joy, which brings me up to my third point. What we do with what we have shows our view of God. I'm sorry, reveals our view of God. The third servant was afraid to take risk. I have to be mindful that if I'm afraid to take risk, I'm not living by faith. If I'm afraid to step out of my comfort zone, I'm not living by faith. If I'm willing to sit on my hands and put what God has given me in the back burner, it's not living by faith. Everything in our lives, I have to understand, has kingdom purpose. Again, when there's purpose, there is reason. And when there's reason, there's God. Taking what he has given us and investing it into a better understanding. To bring him glory, to bring him honor. To influence and to impact the world around us. Managing what he has given us. One of my favorite quotes by a theologian named J.C. Ryles. He says, everything in our lives has kingdom purpose. Our time, our money, our cars, house, health, emotions, all of this have kingdom purpose. And we first have to ask ourselves, are we kingdom driven first? Are we kingdom focused in everything we receive from God? And everything we receive is gifts, our influence, our knowledge, our wisdom, our senses, our strength, our reason, our intellect, our affections, our money, our privileges as members of Christ Church. Are we managing what God has given us? Are we taking full advantage of what he has placed in our lives? You know, one of my favorite activists really growing up was Martin Luther King. And I truly believe that Martin Luther King took full advantage of where he was at. Martin Luther King was in a place where racial tension was higher than ever than it's ever been. He didn't allow that to stop him. He may have been that servant with the one talent. He may have been the servant with the two talents. Only God knows. But he took full advantage of what God has given him. He stood upon people, thousands of people, and said, one day I see little black boys and little white girls and hanging out and conversating and having this community. And look what happened. Martin Luther King went on in an interview before he passed away, talked about how I was doing it all for the glory of God. Right then and there, Martin Luther King said, everything was kingdom purpose. Everything was to develop our society to understanding God has reason, God has purpose. And it was to impact and influence the world around us. Think of the vibes we can give people. If we tell ourselves, I'm kingdom driven, I'm kingdom focused, I'm God driven, and I want to impact the world around me. We want our children to have this chance of seeing this awesome opportunity God has given us, which is the world. This awesome resource which God has given us, which is our lives. We want people to understand and see how God in everything should be glorified because of his grace. But most of all, impact and influence the world around us. I work with teenagers. Their influences these days, it's pretty crazy. Brittany's back there shaking her head. But the fact is this, they need people that are kingdom driven. They need people who want to influence and impact the world around us. Are you handling what you have been given? Let me say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and for your scripture. You are an awesome, amazing, tolerant, faithful, patient God. And I thank you for the word today. I thank you that we can receive what you have given us and handle it being kingdom driven. We received your grace of marriage, your grace of parenting, your grace of our job opportunities, your grace all around us we received. And I pray that each and every one of us can handle it in a way that can bring you glory, but impact and influence the world around us. We need you more now than ever, Father. We need you more in our homes. We need you more in our schools. We need you more in the White House. We need you more now than ever, Father. And I pray that these things would bring honor and glorification to your son's name. Amen.